Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here, and we are back again with another microsode for your listening entertainment. I am joined today from the East Coast by Eric.
Hello.
And I will be turning this episode over to our compatriot on the West Coast. Brian is here.
Avast, ye scurvy rats. I don't know. That's my pirate for the morning.
I eat a lot of oranges to avoid scurvy. That's
right. Forgot about that.
I still do that, and I still will make that joke at the bar because our bars carry oranges here, so I always get my drinks, even though I have to be a basic bitch and do like a vodka crayon because Bacardi Limon is not available at like any of the bars. There is one bar that has Bacardi Limon. The rest of them don't carry it, and it makes me so sad. So I've become a basic bitch in Chicago, and I just do vodka crayons.
That's so insane. Is that like is Limon like then a Southern or like that's bizarre. I've never heard.
I don't know.
Now I'm gonna find out if that's common here or not. I've never asked for it, but I will.
I don't think it's common. I don't think it's a common flavor. So you might find like other Bacardi flavors, like a raspberry or like something that's a little bit more common. I think Limon, I don't even know how I stumbled upon it. And I'm pretty sure I'm one of the few people that kept it going at Parliament House that like made it be reordered over and over again. And I'm not mad about it. But that scurvy and pirate talk is a lead into what we're going to chat about. I am going to turn this over to Brian, though, because out of the three of us on this episode, I have the least amount of episodes under my belt, but I am still here for the conversation because why the hell not? I can always throw in some witty comments and maybe a couple of things that I've noticed as well. So without further ado, Brian, take it away. Tell the listeners what we're talking about on this fine episode.
Well, so I actually proposed this this episode about Our Flag Means Death, the new HBO comedy adjacent, let's call it, series about pirates in the 1800s, the 1700s and 1800s. The dates get a little fuzzy. I think it's like, you know, beginning
18th century, 1700s.
There we go.
I believe.
Sure. I like that. And I pick this surprisingly because I don't think I realized, and so I'm kind of not sure how to tread here, but I don't think it's really a spoiler because you're going to see, if you're on social media at all, you're going to start seeing things, if you haven't already, about this show that also may surprise you as they surprise those of us who watched it. It looks like, from the advertisement, a fun little romp about pirates, and you have this delightful actor who I absolutely adored everything they've been in. Rhys Darby. I don't know. I know him best, and I think Pat as well, and probably Eric, as the manager of the Flight of the Conchords. But he's done a lot lately in major motion picture entertainment. Eric, what's another good role for Rhys Darby?
Let's see here.
I'm trying to think, like, just off top of my head.
He does a lot of voiceover work lately.
You're right, actually. You probably have heard him if you have not seen him. He was in the original What We Do in Shadows as well. And I guess he was in Yes Man, which I did not see, so who knows. Very, very crisp New Zealand accent. Very delightfully, naturally funny and sort of bumbling. Kind of like a Peter Sellers-ish person, if you're familiar with Peter Sellers. But anyway, Rhys Darby's is the lead. Gentleman Pirate Steed Bonnet. And we will talk about this quite a lot, but Steed is actually Captain Bonnet, I should say, is actually a historical figure. In learning about the show after watching it, I realized and read that the show is based very firmly in facts. It is not going to be beholden to those facts. It is going to take flights of fancy because it is a comedy and it is kind of its own thing. But it is rooted fundamentally in a relationship between Captain Bonnet and the infamous pirate. My God, my brain's not working.
Blackbeard.
Thank you. I don't know why. That's like the one thing. It's like everybody knows Blackbeard. So Blackbeard is, you know, a legend, right? Legendary pirate. But the reality behind Blackbeard has probably been obscured a lot because all we think of is the kind of cartoonish portrayal that Blackbeard has had in our media over the years. You know, cartoons. Wasn't there a Blackbeard at one point in Pirates of the Caribbean, right? Did they do a Blackbeard? Yeah. I forgot who. Which third or fourth
movie?
Okay. Oh, is that the one that guy from Deadwood played?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I saw that.
I can't think of his name, but
yeah, I can't.
Yeah, it was the guy from Deadwood.
Brain's not working. It is early for most of us, but anyway. So let's say grounded in truth, but it goes from there and tells its own story. So that's all I knew. I'm burying the lead here. So as much as I love Rhys Darby, I think all of us and more of us probably are familiar and love Taika Waititi, who the name, again, if you're just, you don't follow those things. He was the director and the voice of what? Korg in Thor, Love and Thunder. Thor Ragnarok. Yeah. And Thor Love and Thunder.
And yeah, he will be as well in Love and Thunder, but that hasn't come out yet. No, so
I'm from the future. This is why my brain's not working. So he's also been in What We Do in Shadows. He's one of the big forces behind the things we do in Shadows. Am I saying that right? The things we do in Shadows?
What We Do in Shadows.
It is What We Do
in Shadows. What We Do in the Shadows. And the movie and the TV show, right? He was one of the creators of the film.
He is one of the creators of the film with Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords, and he is a character in the movie and in the TV show. I think it's the same.
And he was also Ratcatcher.
Yes, so thank you. I knew there were more roles, and again, he's been in stuff. Jojo Rabbit was one of his movies, and he was, I believe, in that as well.
And I want to say there was something else recently that came out that I didn't realize he was in.
Free Guy, I guess he had a role in that.
Yeah, he was in Free Guy. Okay. Now maybe I am just thinking of that. He's going to be in Lightyear?
Yeah, I don't know. I forgot what he played. Oh, I think he plays the dog maybe in Lightyear? Like the companion pet, whatever.
Oh, well,
all
right.
Don't quote me on that. I just saw that I've been stalking on social media just because there's so many great images of Blackbeard. So like, take those two amazing New Zealand actors, pair them with a glorious cast of miscreants that are all in different states of effectiveness as pirates, some being very ridiculous, some being very sincere and scary. And that's, at its core, the story of What We Do, or Our Flag Means Death.
What We Do on a Pirate Ship.
What We Do on a Pirate Ship. Thank you. I'm sure someone else is like, you know, put those two together in a new little whatever. But Eric, before I go on and keep prattling about how much I love the show, what did you think? Where are you at with this? What did you expect, and how was that surprised or subverted?
I'm about 3/4 of the way through the season, and I've enjoyed it so far. I didn't realize how much of a relationship they were going to build between Steed and Blackbeard, and kind of combine their two crews for a while. I found that pretty interesting. I thought it was kind of be a kind of a one-off. Oh, we met Blackbeard and maybe come back to him for the finale of the season, kind of thing. And he was just going to be built up as this huge figure over the course of the season and then be revealed towards the end. So it's interesting they went that direction. I've also enjoyed all the cameos from all the bit characters.
So we got Leslie Jones as this pirate mercenary bitch who's amazing.
Nick Kroll and what's her name?
Like a French aristocrat. Oh, Kristen Schaal. Yeah. Delightful. Every time she shows up in anything. Fred Armisen.
That episode was just amazing in and of itself.
That's what I was going to say. Fred Armisen is the bartender, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Fred Armisen's great as the bartender and there's one of Jackie's husbands.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Jackie is the Leslie Jones pirate queen. I don't know, Eric. You may have gotten to it, but Calico Jack shows up.
Yeah, I haven't got to him yet. Yeah.
I will spoil this. It's not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why people would be surprised. It's Will Arnett, delightfully portraying the Calico Jack, who's also another famous pirate. There's other people. A lot of British actors that I have seen before, but I don't know their names. A couple that play recurring or different roles that they come back. It's kind of interesting.
I really enjoy the relationship between Olawande and Jim.
Yes. So let's talk about Jim because Olawande is fantastic, by the way. I forgot. I've seen him in something else and I love him a lot, that actor. but Jim. So one of the things Eric kind of alluded to but didn't explain, and I think we're going to just spoil it, because honestly, at this point, again, you're going to see everything about this very quickly. This is the queerest show on television right now. I am sure that there are other shows out there that are if it could equally, you know, vie for that title, but I was so blown away by this mainstream, like, quote-unquote mainstream or whatever, but pirate show on HBO being just so queer and delightfully so. Jim, played by a non-binary actor, Vico Ortiz, is a non-binary pirate. Though in the show, you pretty much realize after a very quick amount of backstory that, you know, she was a she at one point. And they don't have the terminology necessarily, you know, in this era. There's some anachronisms, but they don't like, you know, lean in on like, oh, I'm non-binary. And they don't have a very special moment.
Well, yeah. I mean, after she's been revealed to have been in disguise as Jim, to kind of help, I don't know, in one way to ease the crew and more comfortable that she's still around on the ship, she still goes by Jim. And I did notice that the crew uses a lot of they, them pronouns when talking about Jim.
Yes, I love that. That's subtle. Like, you don't pick up on that at first unless you are listening for it. And then you go, oh, that's what they're doing. And that's fine. I think that's appropriate. And it makes sense. But Bonifacia is her born or her dead name, potentially. I don't know. Probably not dead name to them because, you know, they are still very fluid in what their identity is. But her story is very cutthroat, revenge oriented. Like, her family was, you know, destroyed by this one of the husbands of Jackie. And she has a great arc, they have a great arc. And, you know, you get the backstory. You find out that she was raised as a girl by nuns. And then pretty much since then has kind of charted their own path as this badass assassin. But yeah, the love story that sort of blossoms with them. And oh God, what's his name again? I forgot the
other Olawande. Pirate.
Olawande, yes. It's nice. It's nice. It's there's a couple unexpected love stories. That's one that I really enjoyed. I don't know if you probably, Eric, you've seen this. Pat, I don't think you have. There is a kind of a foppish but very out. You find very quickly that they're openly like queer character, a gay. But he's like a scribe, and he kind of falls in with Black Pete, who is this like kind of wants to be a badass, but he's kind of got like a lisp going, and he also finds out he's just a little ineffectual himself. Like all of the main crew of the Revenge, Captain Bonnet's ship, are pretty ineffectual as pirates. So they have a relationship that kind of comes out of nowhere. You're like, wait, what? This is fantastic. And I love both those actors too. I was trying to find the one that played the scribe. Oh, Nathan Fode played Lucius, and Matthew Marr played Black Pete. And I'm not familiar with either one of them, but they are both great. Eric, I don't know what else have you noticed and picked up so far about the queerness of this show.
Well, can we, before we go on with the queerness, we haven't even mentioned the fact that Hodor is Wee John.
Yes.
Like, thank you. And I guess it kind of still does go with the queerness because, I mean, he is queer himself. So, mm-hmm. like, before I watched the show and knowing that we were gonna do this episode, normally, if I haven't watched it, I will just sit out the episode. And I was like, hey, you know what? I have a 4-day weekend. Why not catch up on some new television? Instead of just replaying Drag Race videos over and over on YouTube. And I was checking out the cast and I was like, okay, cool. Like, all of these very interesting characters. And then I'm like, wait, Hodor is in this? And I'm 100% down for it.
Christian Narn is his name. And yes, Hodor. And I don't know that he's done a lot else, but he does DJ quite a lot. I would
say he DJs a lot in between.
And you will be delighted, those of you who are fans of, you know, Game of Thrones, that Christian gets a speaking role in the show. It's not a Hodor-esque, you know, just say very little. However, I will say that Christian's character is probably very true to Christian, I from what I understand, maybe of him outside of outside of acting, but he's so far not had a love interest. So whether or not he's queer in any demonstrable way, they really haven't dug into, which is funny because, yeah, he is an out, you know, performer on the show. So, yes, I didn't want to bury that. That's certainly a very, he's a great addition. But Eric, so you've noticed some of the things going on with old Steed and Blackbeard, huh?
Well, I don't necessarily, as far as what's happened with them, it's a friendship, certainly, and hasn't become anything sort of physical or romantic, even if the episode I just watched where they're out treasure hunting, Lucius kind of frames their relationship as equaling a romantic one, just in the way that they like each other, kind of because they're pushing each other's boundaries as far as what they know and their interests and whatnot. But I was kind of surprised at how kind of, and granted, they're all men except for Jim on a pirate ship. And I'm sure plenty of homosexual behaviors happened on pirate ships back then, just because you got only men on a boat and
it wasn't
men are going to do what men are going to do.
It was all Navy, everything. I mean, the reason the Navy is looked upon as a fairly queer service branch, and also just, you know, there was a lot of buggery going on in from what we know. I mean, the problem is it's all sort of sea stories, so to speak. Some very little of it was documented in any way. However, it does not take a lot to imagine that if you lock a bunch of men away for months and months at a time, with very few port calls and lots of tight quarters, that's going to happen. Now, what's delightful in this is, as much as there was probably lots of buggery going on, just fornication and shenanigans, they do explore more of the tender side in this and give it more of a romantic flavor, which again probably absolutely happened.
It's kind of cute when Black Pete ends up whittling that gift for Lucius, and but it was interesting in those episodes leading up just how much no one seems to care on the ship. Like it's just a thing, Yeah. Like apparently Lucius has sketched most of them.
Yeah, that's a great moment when you get what one of the Blackbeard original crew getting
Fang, the delightful
older polar bearish type guy laying naked across the little place in the captain's quarters, and then Lucius is sketching him.
And it was funny because Lucius flirted / kind of seduced him into being drawn to get out of doing his chores.
Yeah. So, there was a thought, now it's gone. So they do a lot of this. It's very delightful. Lucius particularly, is definitely one of the agents of change, so to speak. Like, you know, he is the vanguard of all of the queerness, but also then sort of from that, it spreads outwards. And you're right. No one cares. The only character who ever seems to have any issue and then it's quickly diffused is Izzy Hands, who is one of Blackbeard's original crew as well. Is like right-hand man. And it's meant as a way to like kind of cartoonishly frustrate Izzy's desire to get them to do their chores, right?
Because I don't even think it was necessarily the gayness of what was happening. It was just the fact that they weren't doing the work that he told them to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they were enjoying themselves
it played a little bit like that. And I think they tried to sort of do a little bit of both at first. And then later there's a beat where you that breaks down and you go, okay, no, he's totally in on this too. So we're dancing around this, and it's something, again, I know, Eric, you've been teased and started to see. Pat has no idea, I think, on what's coming. But like flat out, I was reading interviews. The show creator is, I just lost the name. David Jenkins, I think. And he did the only other show I could find that he did stuff was Our People of Earth, which I never saw. I did hear good things about. Let's see, David Jenkins. Yeah. Originally, the story was based on the real life of this Captain Bonnet and Blackbeard, and they had a real collegial relationship at a time, and they were collaborating as pirates, which is something that wasn't very common, but also not completely unheard of, but just, you know, relatively rare. And so from that, I think very early on, David Jenkins decided to make this a romance. And the romance was between the two captains. So from the beginning, without any, you know, whoever was cast, nothing had really coalesced. It was decided that this was going to be a love story between these two men. And that was going to help recontextualize piracy, because pirates... There's so many pirate shows, pirate movies. I mean, pirates have been beat to death. And comics, like, pirates are such a trope, right? That they really wanted to come in and do something unique and really build this bright love letter about adventure and camaraderie and all that. But, like, love letter, like, about lovers, about, like, the relationships that bloom when you're, you know, in close proximity with somebody else, or you find someone that... you know, delights you enough that you're captivated, and you know, all of the stuff that would come with a beautiful romance. That became the key to the show. And from there, you get this delightful love story between these two men, played by real life dear friends and collaborators, Aris Darby and Taika Waititi.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And so, Eric, you've got the very beginning of the obvious, like, because when I look back, that was the first moment when it was like, if you hadn't been picking up on the clues and the subtext, like that.
Oh, I
like,
mean, I saw yeah. all the clues and subtext. I just didn't want to like put the cart before the horse type thing.
Sure. Well, you don't know how they're going to actually play it out. Like you said, yeah. Blackbeard, when he was introduced, could have easily just been a foil or a villain or a guest star and come back later. I didn't expect him to be a huge part of the show at all as well. So, yeah. But the next – so basically the last – it's like a two-parter sort of – they're all pretty sequential. It lays bare that whole relationship and things happen to move the plot along very quickly. Because there is an actual sort of tragic element to this. And I don't know, David Jenkins has been sort of kind of careful because he doesn't know. They haven't been confirmed for a second season yet. The show's doing very well, so it's probable they'll get a second season. But, you know, he is hemmed in a bit by real life and what happens and sort of a tragic end to Captain Bonnet in history. However, he has been saying, like, this is not necessarily going to be the true life, you know, tale at all. Like, we're going to maybe take departures. So kind of like The Great, one of our favorite little historical fictionalized dramas, at least Eric and I, it's that direction. So yeah, now knowing that, I mean, it is, you can sort of look back, like you said, and see like the breadcrumbs. But I know about all, but take that away and it's still a great pirate adventure. I mean, Eric, I don't know if this reminded you of it, but like, Curse of Monkey Island much.
I never played Curse of Monkey Island. So
what? Are you kidding? Yeah. Oh, Threepwood.
Okay. At least Pat played it.
Yes.
Eric, I'm shocked. I'm shocked and appalled. How have I known you this long? And you've never played Monkey Island. It's highly recommended, by the way. You can still play it. I think Good Old Games and like a bunch of the various little, you know, whatever's have it. But yeah, Guybrush Threepwood, the protagonist of Curse of Monkey Island, which was like, what, a 3-game series from LucasArts back in the 80s, late 80s, 90s?
I know at least 2. I don't remember if there was a third to it. There probably was.
What was the other? So there's another like farcical pirate one. Well, I guess Pirates of Penzance is somewhat of a farcical pirate story, but the pirate movie, is that the one that they did back in the 80s or 70s?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
So there have been these lighthearted take on piracy. So, you know, they're not treading all new ground there, but it is in modern memory one of the most like, you know, taking like, it's kind of like what we did in what we do in Shadows, taking like this dark material of vampires and making it a comedy and making it lighter and having fun with it, but still not shying away from the brutality, because I mean, there is some brutality that is happening on the high seas. I mean, I don't remember all the crazy shit, but like, you know, people get killed, people get stabbed, people lose thumbs, not just the scurvy. What about the supporting cast? You mentioned Aluande. Were there any other standout like supporting pirates that you really enjoyed? Either one of you?
I don't know. They're pretty kind of goofish, I guess. Roach kind of gets a lot of good lines.
The Which cook one was Roach again?
The cook.
Oh yes. Okay.
But yeah, I don't feel overly connected to the rest of them as much.
Did you appreciate the sort of office humory? Like, we're going to talk through our problems. We're going to have a team meeting. We're going to do an arts and crafts day or some bull. Like there's lots of those little moments that are sort of put in as sort of comic relief and to show how, in some ways, maybe Captain Bonnet's like, you know, inspired to do better as a pirate leader, but also kind of incompetent, doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, sure. And that's kind of where the relationship with Blackbeard comes from, in that at first Blackbeard's just fascinated by something different to be out on the ocean. And just sees this buffoon out here in his glammed up ship. His yassified pirate ship, if you will, with hidden closets and libraries,
and the ballroom.
Yeah, Two chandeliers. That's overkill. and then, so they have something to learn from each other, where Steed kind of learns to be a better captain from Ed, and Ed kind of picks up more of the finer things in life.
And Ed being Edward Teach, which is Blackbeard's real name. I do really enjoy the storyline of Blackbeard being so weary of the legend that he has become, and how there's just nothing left to excite him anymore in piracy. And then along comes, like you said, Captain Bonnet and his bizarre, ridiculous ship and crew, and bumbling, but also very creative in his own right. Like, I think one of my favorite moments is the fuckery episode.
Yeah.
Where basically pirates are like pranksters as well. They're not just trying to, like, you know, kill and rape and pillage. They actually sometimes just want to fuck with you. And so they pull this prank on this, was it a Spanish? No.
Dutch? A Dutch merchant ship.
Yes, the Dutch merchant ship. And they do this whole, you know what it reminded me of? So back in the day, Eric and I were in a fraternity, and we used to have haunted houses in the music building. And, like, effectively, that's what they did in the ship. They set up this haunted house of horrors that the crew got all into, but were completely inept at pulling off, with dumb special effects and all this stuff. And, you know, it's, like, not convincing them whatsoever. They're like, okay, this is stupid. But then they Blackbeard is sort of watching, and sort of, you know, the whole idea with this is Blackbeard is really not sure what he's doing with all of the Captain Steed stuff at this point. And his right hand Izzy is like, you're only doing this so we can steal his crew and his ship or whatever. Like, you're not actually really going to keep this guy alive. Like, you can't have two captains. This is just nonsense. So Blackbeard is, like, literally about to, you know, in theory, kill Steed, and sees all of this. And, you know, his heart's not in it anyway, but they deploy the Kraken. this horrible, like, effect that they're, like, just taking, like, I don't even know what it was, like seaweed or something, and beating the window. And, you know, they're trying to scare the Dutch, but they end up freaking what's his name, Blackbeard out, because of this whole story he told about seeing a Kraken as a child. Then you find out that he actually murdered his father, and so now he's, like, being faced with this whole thing. Anyway, it's a delightful, like, real moment. Like, it's funny and kind of ridiculous and farcical, but then there's this lovely, this is one of the first moments where you start to see this relationship deepening between Blackbeard and Steed. So I love that whole episode. It's ridiculous, and then it ends with that, like, lovely note, you know, of their relationship. So I don't know. What else? What else? What else has the show done that surprised you? I mean, Pat, you've only seen a couple episodes in, but I mean, is any of this, like, how are you thinking about this, and what have you seen that you really like?
So this is kind of outside of my normal realm of shows that I would watch normally. The humor, like, having watched a couple episodes of What We Do in the Shadows, and it normally doesn't connect with me. This hasn't exactly grabbed me where I'm sitting there going, hey, this is the greatest show on earth. I like it. I've enjoyed the almost three episodes that I've gotten through. I'm right at the point where Big Jackie is, like, it's kind of that the going into the third act of this episode, and Jim is almost found out because Big Jackie was very turned on by the fact that there was a thief. And you know, like, the cameos so far have been great. I enjoyed the episode prior to that. I think it's episode two where they run the ship ashore on the island.
Yeah.
There was a couple of pieces. One, that try was awesome.
Oh, God. Yes.
And then I definitely got a chuckle out of the fact when the tribe had Steed and I forget the other one. Was it Black Pete in the cage?
Yeah. Or Lucius. Was it Black Pete or Lucius?
It was Black Pete. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's who I think it was. Yeah, and I like Black Pete too, because for, like, being kind of the least queer of the crew, he is also one of the sassiest.
Yes.
Because
yes.
he's just like, he's like, well, you know, what should we do with the hostages? You mean aside from killing them? Like, it's all like the kind of direct, like, motherfucker, what? And I appreciate that. But they are in the cage and they see the tribe. And I think it was Steed makes a comment about, oh, we thought you were going to eat them. And the one go, and I don't remember if it was Oluwande or one of the tribe members. And I'm like, that's racist.
It's the tribe guy. Yeah. That whole thing with the tribe, this is like the, you know, Aboriginal people on this island or whatever. Like, it's the complete deconstruction of the way we typically have depicted Aboriginal tribes in the Caribbean or the Pacific or where. I mean, they're what's kind of confusing is they're meant to probably be in the Atlantic in most historical whatever. That's where most of the piracy happened. But these tribal people look like they're in the Polynesian islands. But whatever, be that as it may, the trope is still, and they do cast from a few different ethnicities to kind of round that out. But they totally pull apart all of the like myths. Like, but even having them in cages and showing like this. This like, what is it, like some kind of like a food being barbecued sort of thing. And then you find out, oh, wait, no, that's actually just a whatever. It's not a person. they're not cannibals. They're not savages. They're just doing their thing. And I love all of that. Anytime I see a show try to like be funny, but still pull apart those tropes and do something new is more probably accurate or whatever. You know, I love that.
Yeah, tearing apart the colonizer point of view and everything that's been kind of disseminated from that. But it what really made me giggle in that whole thing was when Oluwande comes up and he gets handed a drink. I'm like, did they give you a drink? He's like, yeah, it's something, you know, rum, coconut. And I was like, first off, it sounds delicious. And then second off, they turn around and like, oh yeah, we just have a problem with the light skins. And then Seed is like, oh, the light skins. And I was like, yeah. It made me think of all the times when, like, you see stuff on social media and it's like, oh, the white people are at it again. And then, you know, the white people who are not those white people are like, God damn, the white people are at it again. It gave me a hearty chuckle at that. And just seeing kind of to the point you were making earlier about how no one really kind of cares for the most part about the queerness of the crew when they go through all of that. It's towards the end of the episode and they're getting the boat back in the water. Oluwande is offered by, I don't even want to like misspeak on what the positioning is, but like the, one of the chieftains or the priests of the tribe, is walking with him and he offers him a place with the tribe. He's like, you can stay here with us. And he's like, oh, I have, you know, somebody on the ship. And the chief is just like, oh, you're in love. Like, it's so not even a thought, a second glance at the whole thing. So it definitely has its moments, even just a couple episodes in, where even if it's not necessarily your thing, or, you know, sometimes you're not sucked into the realm of like, oh my God, this is so amazing. Because so many people that I know, not even just from the show, but in life, have connected with like What We Do in the Shadows and these other kind of similar programs or films. And I'm warming up to this for sure. So I will more than likely get through the rest of the season. And partially because I'm a completionist, but I'm not doing this in a Gotham-esque hate watch.
Good.
So that's always a positive. That is a positive sign of approval from me when it comes down to a show. If I am watching it to complete it, but I'm not hate watching it, that's a thumbs up.
I will say that I struggled with the first episode mightily. I think I stopped and started it several times. It really does take until Blackbeard is on the screen and like a force there. It gets better and better each episode. So you're getting really close, but like that's when it's all locks in and you go, okay, I don't know what this is doing, but I see this is more fun. And I was reading about that with David Jenkins, you know, reading an interview with the creator. And he's like having these two actors is amazing, but I really wanted to have space for Captain Bonnet, who is the star of the show. I mean, he is the main like protagonist, right? to have his space to really establish his foppish nonsense. And you know, so the story with Bonnet, and this is true, he left his family. He was an English nobleman and left his family basically behind suddenly to go be a pirate. And I think there's a lot that they don't know about the motivations and all this stuff. But that's what that happens. And he goes off, and you don't get a lot of the backstory up front for him. You do eventually, especially at the last, I think the last episode, you get to see all of it and sort of like a nice, somewhere in the middle, you get to see like the backstory when he leaves or whatever, but
yeah,
you
get a nice, he's in a fever dream and he kind of recounts, his past.
Yeah, that's what it was. But you get some completion on that. There's some delightful, another cameo. If you're a fan of Tim and Eric, I think it's Tim Heidecker shows up as a great role. There's another actress who I cannot ever remember her name, but when you see her, you'll be like, oh, her. It's just great. But yeah, no, it's great. It just it's there's just so much beautiful in the show. But you're right, Pat. As soon as you get through these first three, it gets a lot easier and you think you'll be more. I think you'll be a little more engaged.
Yeah, and I mean, it's tough for me because I've realized that I tend to have a little bit of ADHD when it comes to watching shows. But the first episode, I definitely agree. I went through it in one sitting because it was kind of a last minute watch, but it definitely was a bit of a slog to get through just because there's kind of so much going on and you're not sure where it's going to be. And then the whole thing with the flags and all of this stuff. But even from the second episode, it definitely hit more of a stride. So if by the time that Blackbeard is actually a part of the cast and on the show, then that makes it even better because I've already enjoyed these, you know, almost three full episodes. So it's definitely a thing to look forward to going into the upcoming episodes for sure.
But yeah, if you have not checked out our Flag Means Death, you should do so. Especially because it did all the episodes are out. It did wrap its last episode last week or 2 weeks ago. Whenever you're hearing this in the past. And we don't know if it's coming back. So of course, watching it and getting excited about it and, indulging in all the fan fiction and, great imagery that has been produced now because of this delightful love story, you can enjoy, without being spoiled. Well, you're already spoiled now if you haven't seen it, but please go watch this. We hope you enjoyed as much as we did. And we'll try to get BJ to watch it at some point. I was kind of surprised BJ's not here cause he had not seen it at all. And I was like, I think you really like this. I think this would be something you'd enjoy, but I guess not dark and twisted enough for him.
I mean, it's not trying to pull all the feels yet, so there's still hope to get him roped into the show.
That's true. Yeah, he will have to make sure he doesn't listen to this episode. But but I'm glad we had a space to talk about it. And again, I'm really hopeful that like so many communities will really, you know, enjoy the representation they're seeing in this show. It really was a labor of love, I think, from the cast to make it as representative of all of the people in the world who don't get enough of that. So that's just, I'm very delighted by that. And the ending, by the way, is a little bit of a cliffhanger. And just warn you now, get ready to be frustrated because it's one of those. Hopefully, if we don't get a second season, a lot of people are going to be pissed off. So anyway, if you are loving what you're doing, what we're doing, I know I'm going to butcher this unless Pat steps in because there's lots of fun ways you can support us.
If you are enjoying our show and everything that we put out on the Nerdy Show Network, go check us out online at flameonshow.com. From there, you can check out all of our social media, our YouTube presence, Twitch, all of that. All the links are right there on our website, including a link to our Threadless shop. Go check out our swag. And you can also check out patreon.com/flameonshow and join us at any one of the four levels that we are currently offering, including our $10 House of X level, where you can become a co-host for one of our pop culture roundup episodes, just like Joel did not too long ago, and also get some additional swag and some other fun perks. So with that being said, thank you, gentlemen, for this conversation. I'm looking forward to catching up on a couple more episodes of this maybe even today before I work later on. We'll see. But go check out Our Flag Means Death, now streaming on HBO Max. Go check it out. And we'll be back in 2 weeks for our next pop culture roundup. Until then, peace.
Arr.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.